which we get every year on the auspicious day following Janamashtami, which is a very, very auspicious day in itself. For all of us who are fondly being called as Prabhupadanugas, we are Rupanugas definitely, followers of the great Rupa Goswami, who is the founder of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But more specifically, this chapter of Gaudiya Vaishnavas in ISKCON are called as Prabhupadanugas. That means we, for the next 10,000 years, will have this very special merit that we are all followers of such a great personality. As his disciples, or grand disciples, or great grand disciples, whatever our position, we are all are depending largely in a very, very big manner for our ultimate spiritual salvation on our connection with His divine grace. That's our hope, that this connection with this great personality who came from the spiritual sky will benefit us in ways which you not even imagine. Srila Prabhupada, as we all know, was appeared in this world. Great souls are never born and they never die. They appear and they only disappear at Krishna's will. So today is the Vyasa Puja of His Divine Grace. 114 years, 1896, this young child, Abhay, was born to Gaur Mohan De and Rajni at Harrison Road in Calcutta. And he grew up to become Abhay Charanaravinda Das. Then he grew to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhu, Swami as a sannyasi in 1959. And then as he became more worldwide famous, he became Srila Prabhupada. And we all now fondly call him as our Prabhupada. So with these short few words, we will have this experience now of hearing all our wonderful devotees speak their heart, their memories, their glorifications of His divine grace. Hopefully all of us, we will not get a chance all of us to speak, but we will hear our own sentiments being resonated, being echoed in the offering of these wonderful souls who will speak. So that will be our satisfaction, that we are not able to speak all of us, but we are able to hear our own sentiments being expressed by other senior, more experienced, more advanced devotees. With this mood in mind, I would like to invite His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu. Yeah, please come. So we'll begin the ceremony by... Naji Prabhu is not here, right, still? Okay, so Mahaprabhu Prabhu, please come. So we'll be offering Prabhupada his Vyasa Puja book. And Mahaprabhu Prabhu, on behalf of all of us, will do so to His divine grace. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Jai Gurudev, 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 Jai Gurudev. Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki, Saviour of the whole world, founder of the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Hare Krishna. As we have been informed just now, that whatever we are speaking here is being translated and also in Hindi. So हिंदी में होगा ये नीचे ट्रांसलेशन. सो नाउ आई विल स्पीक टुडे इन इंग्लिश. श्रील प्रभुपाद, लास्ट वीक वी आर इन वृंदावन एंड गिरिराज महाराज, हिज हॉलीनेस गिरिराज महाराज inaugurated hospice there. At that time he was giving a lecture in the temple. In the temple lecture he was narrating a story. I would like to mention that story here, and this story he has heard from you. He was narrating that story that in one kingdom, a king was very rich, but one person came in that kingdom and he wanted to steal something. So he has gone there as a cook and he started stealing. He was caught. And when he was caught, at that time, he was asked, why you are doing all this? So he mentioned it that actually I needed some money for my family. But when he was cross-examined by several questions were asked, and when he met a devotee at that time, they asked him, do you follow any regulative principle? Meat eating? Yes, I eat meat. Gambling? Yes. Is sex, intoxication, all, everything. So then he was speaking most, the important point which I want to mention, he was speaking everything, means not hiding anything. And at that time, he said, I always speak truth only. So I have gone to a king place, and there I have stolen, you know, this one diamond and another diamond. We were two friends, so two diamonds we have stolen. But the one diamond was lying inside the alwara. So we both of us had decided we will not take that. Because what we'll do, we cannot cut into pieces, it will be useless. So let it lie there. When he was caught, at that time, he was brought before the king. And he asked the king, that why you have done this? Why you have taken two? Why you have not taken one third one? He said, we have not taken third one because, you know, it was no use for us because we were two people. And We can't cut that diamond in two pieces. So we left. So he asked his mantri, why don't you go and see whether the one diamond is lying there? So mantri has gone there and he picked up the diamond and he put that diamond in his pocket. So then he came and said, what is the position? Oh no, there was no diamond there. So actually, well, he was a thief at that time. He says, King, remember one thing. I'm doing all nonsensical thing. But my guru has told me one thing. Never to speak lie. And I promise you that the diamond must have gone to your mantri only. He must have taken the diamond. Because I have kept the diamond there. So immediately on the spot, they searched this mantri and the diamond was found there. So the king immediately put that mantri in jail and he made this man a thief as a mantri. And why I'm narrating this story, that if one person has got one good quality, he was committing all four offenses. But he was honest. And because of that honesty, he became the mantri of the king. And finally, when he became mantri of the king, he has to observe all the rules and regulations which was prescribed. And that happened when many people came in contact of Srila Prabhupada. They were hippies doing all nonsensical things, but they were very honest to Srila Prabhupada. And gradually, because they were very honest, they gave up one thing, second thing, third thing, four things, and they became very, very important people. And by their mercy, we have got the 4,400 temples around the world. So if one person has developed one good quality in association of a devotee, means that person has learned from his guru that never to speak lie. So if we can develop even one good quality with the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and see what is happening throughout the world by association of Srila Prabhupada, when we were not knowing anything about the spiritual life. I may mention one more little, because I just don't want to tell you something which we have told 100 times, but I want to mention something, a new dimension which Srila Prabhupada has given. New dimension in the sense that 99.9% people, you know, at this time in this material world, they are very much involved how to get education for the children, or they have done whatever education they have done, or how to earn money, or means how to become happy, how to get power, how to get pratishtha. Means this is the situation everybody. Means this is in the material world, everybody is thinking that we must come, we must get all these things. But when, as soon as we come in the contact of a pure devotee, you see the result of that. Actually, this was the question I asked B.V. Bhagwat Swami Maharaj, sannyas disciple of our Giriraj Swami Maharaj. He was talking last week, means speaking on the subject of Krishna Janma. And Krishna Janma, and after explaining how Krishna took birth and how he has from then he has gone to Yashoda and Devaki and Nanda Maharaj, and then the question is, it is very difficult to understand this spiritual subject, because if we ask when Balram was born, when Subhadra was born, when this Yogamaya came, and what is the time sequence between the all these things. Actually, if you go deep, at that time the Maharaj said, it's very difficult, because intellectually we cannot understand anything. Because that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Devyam. If we can understand the transcendental appearance of Lord and his activity, even Brahma and even Indra, nobody was in position to understand. So how we can understand? So Srila Prabhupada, and then he explained that if you try to understand Krishna's pastime by your intellectual capacity, you will never understand. But the day you understand that you cannot understand, then you will understand. See, so the point is, Srila Prabhupada has given, because a spiritual subject we can never understand by becoming PhD and highly educated and very pratishtha and power, which a material world, everybody is for that. Srila Prabhupada has put us in that situation by which now we are at least trying that what is this spiritual subject. Up till now, spirituality was rituality, dharma artha kama moksha, going to temple, doing some puja. But what is spiritual? Srila Prabhupada is teaching us by giving us these books and by his disciples. Actually, we were not knowing even what is bhakti. Bhakti, as I said, bhakti was just explained to us by these sadhus, pandas doing this karma kand. That is bhakti. But, and we thought it, you see, this is the way we should live our life. And we are all the time talking that actually, when I preach, I mention most of the time, which I have learned from our Radha Gopinath Prabhu in his, from his lecture, we must teach people ABCD, this association, reading book, chanting, and eating prasad. But actually, this also becomes a particularly ritual only. I have chanted my round. I am eating prasad after offering, and I am having association. But what is the meaning of association? It's total concept, whether of chanting, eating prasad, association, and reading Bhagavad Gita, 650 Bhagavad Gita available in the market. But why reading Bhagavad Gita? As it is said that before 200 year, or ek Mikhail University, Sir Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, one of his book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Swami Vivekananda has gone to, you know, Chicago for before 200 year giving a conference on Bhagavad Gita. But so it's not that Bhagavad Gita has been just spoken today, or means explained, or the copy of Bhagavad Gita is now being translated now. There are 650 translations of Bhagavad Gita. And big people, Swami Vivekananda, Chicago conference, world famous thing. But show me whether they have made one single devotee by reading so many Bhagavad Gitas. But Srila Prabhupada, by reading your Bhagavad Gita, that has changed a life, total dimension of the life. Otherwise, it is all ritual. Everything we are doing, we are thinking, but you are teaching us that things are already destined. Don't waste your time on that and be happy. Otherwise, today, everybody is thinking, how I should earn more money? But you have given us formula that you are already programmed according to your past karma. Be happy. Whatever you have got, balance your life and give quality time to Lord. And that's the way you have given us, that by otherwise complete total world is going completely in a different direction. You have given us so much, Srila Prabhupada, how to repay. You see, Krishna, last point I may mention, I read somewhere that Krishna is supplying us energy, birth, 35 trillion dollars free of cost, by way of sunlight, by way of water, by way of air, which we are using, yes, air condition or light or water or anything, or air, we have to pay $13 trillion. Whatever we are paying, already we have to, everybody has to pay some way or other. But God, Krishna, is supplying us $35 trillion worth of energy free of cost. So we have to pay something, price for that. And that is bhakti. By bhakti, we can change our prarabdha. Otherwise, nobody on earth can change anything, because we are completely programmed according to our past karma. So you have given scientifically, and we have seen throughout the world how life of the people have changed, and they are the change, they are now changing life of the people. And by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, previously in India it was not accepted very seriously, it was positively in foreign country, but now young people of India, they are taking very seriously. And the day when they will not, is not very far, the prophecy made that one day the holy name of Lord will be, it's already, it's household named Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but everybody throughout the world will be devotee of the Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu said that this education is not very useful. PhD and all is not very useful, but we have a person who is not only PhD but also a scientist in his own right. We have Vishwabhanu Prabhu, scientist, PhD, doctorate. Let's see what a scientist has to say about his divine grace, the greatest teacher.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, our dearmost Param Guru, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet on this most auspicious day of your appearance. Being an Acharya, all through your life you have lived the principles which our scriptures enunciate. Everything you said and everything you did was actually manifestation of scriptural injunctions. Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yata Arham Upayunjataha Nirbandaha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts anything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Dear Prabhupada, how vividly you demonstrated this particular principle which was handed over to us by Srila Rupa Goswami. You demonstrated the principle of Yukta Vairagya in such a wonderful and in such a beautiful way. You went to the United States of America with virtually no possessions at all. And what actually were your possessions? The only possession was your boundless ocean of love in your heart, which you wanted to distribute to the suffering humanity in the United States of America. You wanted to share your love with everyone. Then the Lord reciprocated with you. He gave you wonderful disciples. He gave you beautiful temples. He empowered you to write transcendental literature even at an advanced age, because of which even to this day ISKCON is being nourished. The books, the literature that you have given to us are actually nourishing us, and because of that ISKCON still, according to my humble opinion, survives. Krishna also gave you opulence, dear Prabhupada, possessions to which you never became attached but which you always used in Krishna's service. You remained anasakta at all times. Practicing Yukta Vairagya was not a labored effort for you. It came to you very spontaneously, very naturally. And I recently happened to read a book by one of your disciples, Gurudas Prabhu, by his example. And I would like to quote one particular pastime of yours from that book, which illustrates this principle of Yukta Vairagya so very wonderfully. It was September 11, 1969, and Prabhupada was finally to come to, you were finally to come to London. All your disciples were anxiously waiting like chatuka birds for your arrival in London, and they all made wonderful arrangements for your stay in London. And one of the arrangements that they made was that they borrowed the limousine, Rolls Royce, from John Lennon, and they wanted to take you right royally from the airport to the residence. So at the Heathrow Airport, they also arranged a press conference for you. And in that press conference, the press reporters, usually they have a knack of asking embarrassing and awkward questions, and that they did even in this press conference. So because by this time your devotees had spread the gospel of Hare Krishna Mahamantra everywhere in London, you had already become very popular in London, and therefore the press conference was well attended, and the media people asked you the usual questions about the tilak markings and dress and other things, and then they came to asking you embarrassing questions. The very first question they asked was, why did you ride in a huge Rolls Royce limousine? Now, were you embarrassed at that time by the question that was asked? Not at all. You are not embarrassed by the fact that you are a sannyasi and sitting in a Rolls Royce car. Pat came your spontaneous reply. You said, I am God's servant. What he gives me for his service, I will accept. Now this is a demonstration of Yukta Vairagya. So whether you were sitting in one of the most posh apartments in the United States, or whether you were in the very, very poor situation in Radha Damodar Temple, you were not attached to either situations. Then a gentleman asked a question. He said, why have you come here? And you answered immediately, I have come here to teach you what you have forgotten, love of God. So in this very, very brief interview and the question that were asked, you demonstrated two very, very important principles. One is that of Yukta Vairagya, which all of us are struggling to practice. And the other one was that the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to distribute love of God to everyone. So Srila Prabhupada, on this very auspicious day of your appearance, I beg at your lotus feet to give me the ability to serve my spiritual master, who is endeavoring to give love of God to the suffering humanity. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Vrishbhana Prabhu. Is Krishna Chandra Prabhu here in the audience?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to invite him to kindly come and speak, suffering. And thereafter, if Radha Krishna Prabhu is here, kindly be ready.
So we all gathered here to glorify and try to pay our gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada. And there are many, maybe all 400 centers must be celebrating it now. So I was just thinking that I wanted to just make one point, was going to the root of why we're doing this. Because oftentimes, we see so much success, so much, and there is a lot to be grateful for. But at the same time, we also, it may become mechanical and we take for granted. So, he is for all ISKCONites and perhaps millions of others, a hero. someone who has clearly demonstrated his saintliness and who is now the, you know, the torchbearer for centuries to come. And he's living through his instructions and his devotees, his disciples, and his grand disciples. So he has. So if you see the. So today's set of heroes, the people whom we glorify, who generally, you see, people come to that level of being heroes. Either it is through the power of money, wherein they have. Become very successful, billionaires, people are looking up to them, or they are very, they're politicians or people in position of strength who have acquired power and are able to use it in a way which can, you know, make people look up to them. And in very, very, very few cases, maybe two or three cases perhaps, we may say that this person was neither a... I'm talking of the very, very famous people over the last century, that somebody may not be extremely power-hungry or maybe rich, and still they have come to that situation. Those are rare. But even those, eventually time shows that there were some ulterior motives. We won't go into details of that, but there are always some reasons why somebody's played up to it or not. So if you go to see the common threads there, that you need to have either directly you have to have money, or you have to have powerful friends who can support, or you need to certainly have the opinion makers supporting you, the press, the media, and the general establishment has to accept it. It's very difficult against it. And if you go to see in Prabhupada's case, we have seen his qualities. But if we really look back in the year 65 and before, when he was preparing to go, he had nothing. So he had absolutely no money. And it was, even when he was building assets like temples, he never had any money. If you ask the devotees of that time, they were always short of money. And they were, the way they survived, if they could finish in 20 paise, they wouldn't spend 25 paise. And that mentality was there right up to till the time he was here. So they never lived as if they had a lot of money. So they were basically short of money. If you go to see, they had no friends, because it was such a revolutionary movement. People even today find it difficult to accept that he has foreigners as devotees, and that he has, they consider it as a different brand of Hindus and so on, people, because of the ignorance. He didn't have any press or media support. Nobody. In fact, if anything, all were against. Practically all were against. Sometimes they may use, not so favorable, less unfavorable comments. But basically, all over the world, you know, the way they made it out to be, the entertainment section, everything was against. So if you look at it in that context, and then you see what, how did it happen? You know, there's only one answer, that it is not an accident. Because there was a series of events happening virtually every week, every month, which went on for 12 years, which actually took him from where he was to establish where he finally did. And then now, after that also, his disciples have carried on. So that was because Krishna was fully with him. So it was like, in the Mahabharata times, when Arjun and Duryodhan came to, they approached Krishna just before the war, and Krishna told Arjun that you had to make a choice. Either you have me on one side, but I will not fight, I have no army, nothing. On the other side, all of his material energy, which was in the very strong, several divisions of his Yadav army, etc., was there. So he had a split second decision to make. And Arjun, we know, he chose Krishna. So same way, Prabhupada, he could have compromised. He could have, like Arjun, or like Duryodhan, let's say, he could have accepted different forms and still be famous, because he was a very brilliant person also. He also had a lot to offer, and the time was right for the Westerners to accept Eastern philosophy. Many others were like that. But he chose only Krishna. He was given the choice, and like Arjun, he said, I only want you, Krishna. I don't want anything else. And he proved it by his life. He proved it in the way he uncompromised and suffered for that. For a year, he didn't have any devotees. He didn't have hardly anything to eat. He just managed, but he was completely blissful internally. And then Krishna rewarded him, and we could see how he could, how he has been blessed with and through him for centuries. And as we heard that we will be Prabhupada Nukas for the next 10,000 years. Books will be the basis for the next 10,000 years. So if you understand the context in which this has come, I don't think we can fully understand that, but at least if we get some glimpse, then we realize that how much obligation we have, how much debt we are in, and whatever we do is not going to be counted in any way. But nevertheless, it is still, from Krishna's point of view and from Prabhupada's point of view, at least in our attitude of trying to serve, will be seen. So, on this special day, I'd like to just pray that Srila Prabhupada, as he spoke on his one of his appearance days of his Guru Maharaj, he had commented that my Guru Maharaj lives through his divine instructions and through his followers. So same way for us also, Prabhupada lives through his instructions and his followers. I just pray that I can, I don't ever deviate from that path, and that I can do something in his service to glorify his mission. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Krishna Prabhu, Radha Krishna Prabhu. Then, Janava Devi, please be ready.
Srila Prabhupada, one of the challenges in spiritual life is to speak during your Vyas Puja. How can we glorify you? It is said that Ananda says, if he, through his thousands of mouths, would narrate the pastimes of Krishna, he could go on for ever. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, your glories, very difficult to be contained in a few words. So I was just leafing through some of the Vyas Puja books of the past just to get a glimpse of how some of your disciples who have had personal association with you, how you have interacted with them, and how you have nourished their lives by very small incidents. And I came across one such which I would like to share with the audience here. This is by Govinda Devi Dasi. She says that in June, July and August, Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Sundar and I lived at the Prince Arthur Street apartment in Montreal. It was a homey atmosphere since Srila Prabhupada did not travel for over 3 months due to visa requirements. Since his birthday was approaching in late summer, I debated what to do and decided to surprise him with a birthday cake. Of course, there were other arrangements at the temple, no doubt, but this was my personal contribution, and at the time it seemed like a nice thing to do. In the morning on his birthday, I carefully prepared a two-layer cake and frosted it with sweet butter and cream frosting. Then I decorated it with candies, and I put candles on them, not 72 or 73, but about 12 or 14 candles. Then, after Srila Prabhupada had completed his usual bath and tilak and prasadam, and he was sitting poised at his desk, chanting, I carried the flaming cake from the kitchen to his altar, as I did all the usual offerings. His eyes grew large and open wide. He exclaimed, oh, what is that? And as I placed the candle-lit cake on the altar, I replied, oh, Srila Prabhupada, this is your birthday cake. I made it for you. This is how we celebrate birthdays in America. He wagged his head from side to side and said, "Very nice," and smiled as I brought him the flaming cake. As I set it on his desk, I explained, "Srila Prabhupada, now you make a wish and then try to blow out the candles with one breath." Srila Prabhupada quickly caught on, and with one deep, big whoosh, he blew out every flame on the cake. Then he laughed and said, "I have done good?" "Yes," I laughed and said, "now you will get your wish, but you don't have to tell me or anybody what your wish is." Srila Prabhupada said, "I wish only for Krishna." His voice was deep, and he said, smiling, "For Krishna's service," he added. I, saying happy birthday to him, as I carefully removed the candles and cut him a big piece of birthday cake and served it to him on one of his several plates. As he tasted it, he smiled and said, "Oh, this is very good." I brought him some warm milk also. "Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for honoring my simple American ideas of service. I innocently offered you a Western birthday party, and you accepted it graciously as if it were the more natural thing in the world. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you this life and next, and thank you for reminding me of your only wish. Please bless me that someday I may also wish only for Krishna's seva. When I see birthday celebrations, I am always reminded of your bright, surprised look as I carried in the flaming birthday cake and how you kindly you were accepting my innocent offering. Birthday celebrations always stir memories of your gentle face, wide-eyed staring at the flaming cake in wonder, and a wonderful memory, and what a wonderful wish." Srila Prabhupada, I sincerely hope that someday this wish comes true in my life also.
Thank you, Radha Krishna Prabhu, for this very sweet offering. And thank you for speaking long enough to the longest offering I heard in so many years. Thank you very much, Janava Devi, for coming. And Madhavananda Prabhu, kindly be ready.
After many years of establishing ISKCON, in one Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada spoke on love. He said, "Love is the basis for all activity. If we love someone, then naturally we want to do something for them. Even in material life, we perform all our work on the basis of love of family, friends, and others. But we are always disappointed in that love. In love for Krishna, we are never let down. Either way, symptoms of love is activity." Srila Prabhupada, you offered two examples to illustrate this principle. The first one was of Sanatan Goswami, who spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Kripa kari yadi more kari ache udhar. I know it is by your mercy that I have been able to give up such position, Maya's position, as your man. Apane kripate kahe kartavya amar. Now you order me what is my duty." Prabhupada said, this is devotee. Not that now I am free from family life, I can eat prasadam and sleep. He said, once you leave family life, then you have to work 100 times more. That is devotional. And second example was Prabhupada's own example. He said, of course, it is not pride, but take example of my life. I was retired in Vrindavan at 70 years old. I thought that it was to be done and nobody did it, so let me try. So I came to America. Today is the 10th anniversary of ISKCON. So at least from material condition, material calculation, if I had not taken that risk, when I was coming, my friends and others said, this man is going to die. I thought, never mind, death will come, but let me try. So it doesn't matter age, young and old, we should execute the order of spiritual master and supreme personality of Godhead. That is a real life of devotional service. And then Prabhupada gave two very important instructions. He said, take some responsibility for work and execute it to your best capacity. So these are the two instructions that we have to take seriously. We have to take some responsibility and we must execute it to our best capacity. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for teaching us the real meaning of love. Out of deep love for you, your disciple, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, built this temple where devotion to Krishna is foremost. And out of love for Radhanath Maharaj, His disciples are working to their best capacity. This we experienced in yesterday's Janmashtami festival. So we see that each year is getting better and better. So please bless us that we continue in the right spirit and help in this mission. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Janava Devi, Madhavana Prabhu. Srinaji Prabhu is probably not here. Hi, he's coming. Oh, he's coming. Okay. So after that, we'll have Gaurang Prabhu. Kindly be ready.
Srila Prabhupada ki ja. So as in the first offering, Mahaprabhu Prabhu told us about the inauguration of hospice. And there His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he said it was very appropriate that hospice has been inaugurated this year because ISKCON, every year it has some agenda. And this year's main agenda in whole of ISKCON is devotee care. Because sometimes devotee care looks like a little bit caring for the body and social situations and a little bit materialistic. And we are a little transcendental, so we don't we feel this is somebody else's job. We are not concerned with this. We are only spiritual. So we talk only spiritual. But he said, all of us, we are aging and one day we are going to die. So it is very appropriate that for the devotees, such a facility, those who are going to be terminal one day, all of us, a hospice is opened. And there, Giriraj Maharaj had kept a theme for Prabhupada disciples to speak. And Brahmanand Prabhu, Giriraj Maharaj himself, they spoke on a theme of how Prabhupada took care of people. So I'll just give one or two examples. Brahmanand Prabhu was speaking about Stradish Prabhu. He was a very lean and thin person like me. And he wouldn't eat much. But Prabhupada would personally give him chapatis. You must eat. And slowly, he picked up. And at one time, Brahmanand Prabhu was saying, even for me it was difficult to believe, that he could eat 15 to 16 chapatis at a time. But he had some other issues also. And slowly, he became a little bit crazy. That's what Brahmanand Prabhu said. And he wanted to actually commit suicide because of his past background. And at that time, then Prabhupada, still caring for him, he said, now he should go back to his mother. But he was very, very pained that he couldn't take care of him. Then Giriraj Maharaj gave example of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's illness. We have heard several stories how Prabhupada would take care of, you know, seemingly simple things, or you can say the bodily maintenance. So one day in Juhu, Prabhupada asked, where is Tamal Krishna Maharaj? And they said, he has gone for a surgery at Jaslok Hospital. He has hernia. So he said, no one told me this. Why should Tamal Krishna go to Jaslok? Now, Jaslok Hospital is one of the important, very good hospitals in Mumbai. Still, Prabhupada felt that no, he should get the best facility and he should go back to America and there he should get operated by the latest equipment and the latest technologies. So he said, cancel the operation. Just now connect me to the doctor. So they tried their best. That time the cell phones were not there. ultimately, for maybe half an hour, 1 hour, they couldn't contact the Slok Hospital. So Prabhupada, he was so anxious about it, he said, okay, take out my car. I want to go personally to stop the operation. And then Prabhupada actually reached the Slok Hospital. But by that time, the operation was over. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was just coming out of the operation theater. And of course, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said something very wonderful. He said, when I'm coming out of anesthesia, I saw a dream where Prabhupada, you are giving report to the previous acharyas. There is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, there is Gaur Kishwadas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, everyone is there, and you are giving report. And you are telling them that where I am preaching, people have all kinds of disqualification. They have no good qualification. They do every possible nonsense things which you cannot imagine. So it's very difficult. But they have one qualification. And that is, they have implicit faith in me. While saying this, Giriraj Maharaj was in tears. That Prabhupada loved them so much, and they reciprocated with that faith. So this is when Prabhupada was present and he was taking care of his devotees personally. But even now we see that he is still taking care of all of us. We had one recent example. Our Paramahansa Prabhu's mother was admitted with a terminal illness in the hospital. She was very anxious because she was not apparently a devotee. She was trying to follow, but very anxious because something is going to go wrong. What will happen to me? And just the day before the last day, she was very happy, jubilant. She was smiling. And Paramahansa Prabhu and his wife, they asked, so how are you feeling today? Very happy, comfortable. Why? She said, Prabhupada came in my dream and he personally told me, I will take care of you. Don't worry. And next day she passed away with all the devotees chanting around her. So this is the way we can see that Prabhupada is still taking care. On 1st September we celebrate the Founders Day at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And one nurse told a very beautiful story. Little funny. But this is a story, again, how Prabhupada is extending his mercy on a personal level. So there is one person staying in Mira Road, happens to be a patient of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. His sister, she was undergoing repeated abortions. She had only one child and repeated abortions because of some genetic problem in the fetus. So she was called by the brother, you come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, maybe something can be done there. So there she came, and again this time also in the fifth pregnancy. It was an abnormal thing. The fetus was abnormal, genetically. So the conclusion was same, that you will have an abnormal child. When she came to the hospital, she saw, this is a personal thing, patient has narrated this to the sister. She saw this murti of Prabhupada and she kept on praying, please help me, I want this child. I don't want to abort this child. Even if he's abnormal, I want him. So in this way, she did not abort the child. She went through the pregnancy, delivered at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And to her utter surprise, everyone's surprise, the child was completely, perfectly normal. And later on, the best thing is, she named the child Prabhupada. So, So now one more. So this is the way Prabhupada is still taking care of all of us. I am myself a very unqualified person, but still just trying to go through the process which Prabhupada has given us. Before his intervention in our lives, life was only different ways of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Nothing else. Sometimes sophisticated, sometimes on a base level. But because of his intervention and trying to follow him, I feel very confident that he will take care of us. Hare Krishna.
Nagamadanan Prabhu. So in this temple, in terms of devotee care being our agenda for the year and for, I guess, for all times to come, that is what ISKCON will stand for. So this is also, this temple is for those people who are spiritually sick. As you're serving Krishna, your bodies may become sick, so you can come to Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. And if your body is too sick to serve, you can move on to Bhakti Vedanta Hospice. So in either case, whether it is the temple or the hospital or the hospice, at all times it is His divine grace who is taking care of us. So Srinathji Prabhu, can I give you offering?
At the Juhu temple, I was representing our Chopati temple. And there I had read out our Chopati temple's devotees' offering to Prabhupada. So with your kind permission, I would like to read out what we all have written and is already printed in this Vyas Puja book. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to your lotus feet. As the years roll on, and we study your books, listen to your lectures, and discuss amongst ourselves the glories of your preaching, kirtans, studies, etc., we all marvel at how much time you gave to individual disciples, understanding their problems, and giving them expert advice based on your divine knowledge and experiences. For the first time, I have understood that the only qualification Lord Krishna is seeking from all of us to join Him is to be truly 100% humble, without the egoistic display of humility, or for that matter, any other quality. You practically demonstrated this throughout your life, accepting reversals as Krishna's mercy, facing impossible situations at tremendous risk to your finances, life and future, and totally serving Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's orders. Indeed, taking their fulfillment as your only goal in life. Most of us have multiple goals of life, and we are now seeing this multiplicity as a real problem and a cause for all of us to focus. Your example shows that there has to be a one focal point, and that is the order of the spiritual master to advance in Krishna consciousness, serve the Vaishnavas, fight the Mayavadi philosophy, appreciate exquisite deity worship, and distribute books for the pleasure of the spiritual master. It is not surprising that your life was miraculously extended by Lord Krishna himself, and we can appreciate that the very existence of our spiritual life is due to the preaching you did after a lifetime of preparation. Words fail us. We are unable to thank you sufficiently or repay you for the great sacrifices you made. In the current totally chaotic situation with economic calamity and wanton terrorism in every direction, the world should appreciate very much more your teachings as the only way to bring peace on earth and provide a means of going home back to Godhead. Please continue to bless us and guide us from Golok Vrindavan, as we are sure that you are keeping your benevolent eyes on us, which will encourage us on the right, narrow and straight path. Yours sincerely, in the service of Guru Parampara and Lord Krishna, all the devotees at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Chopati, Mumbai, India. So, this morning and subsequently, whenever I've been going through this book, the latest Vyas Puja offering book, and I was talking to Bhima Prabhu, who is head of the BBT printing, and he mentioned that there are so many unique points about Srila Prabhupada which appear in the 26 qualities of a pure Vaishnava. First of all, Prabhupada is not just a pure Vaishnava, he is the purest Vaishnava. That was the first point. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that a Mahatma is a person who has understood Vasudev. Vasudev Sarvamiti. So, Mahatma Sudurlabha. So, the person who thoroughly understood Lord Vasudev is yourself, Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, we are highly indebted for your taking the trouble to come to this Mrityulok and give us your guidance and establishing this Khan temple, besides all these 200 plus, I don't know how many temples worldwide, so many farms and so on. So, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for everything you've done for us. Hare Krishna.
If Sadhya Prabhu is here, then I'd like to invite you to come. If not, your son, Sajitanand Prabhu, if he is here, he can come. Gaurang Prabhu, kindly make your offering.
Hare Krishna. So just this morning, I was reading an interesting quote. Someone sent me an email in which it was said that it's very easy to defeat someone, but it is very difficult to win over someone. So Srila Prabhupada traveled to the West and with his humility and divine qualities has won over practically so many people who have no previous background or idea about Vedic culture. One disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, "Please give me your mercy to follow your instruction, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "My mercy is I have given you the instructions. Now it is your duty to follow it." In Seattle, Prabhupada was giving a talk. One gentleman got up and he said, "I firmly believe that all beings are born equal and therefore I do not have the need to bow down in front of anyone." Prabhupada said, "You have diagnosed your own disease." And this is a disease of the material world, that all of us want to be the master. We do not want to bow down. But disease makes us bow down. We do not want disease. We bow down to disease. We do not want old age. We bow down to old age. We do not want death. We bow down to death. So ultimately, we are forced to bow down all through our life. But if you bow down in front of Krishna voluntarily, then you will understand that there is one place, if I bow down, I will be happy. So you cannot avoid bowing down, but you have to make a choice. By bowing down in one place, you will be miserable. Bowing down another place, you will be happy. So let us bow down in front of Krishna. This was a very beautiful conversation in Seattle. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada came to India, and in Calcutta, he was a senior person. And then the temple president from Calcutta called up Tamalkrishna Maharaj, and he said that this devotee is not following the regulatory principles. He's again started smoking marijuana, ganja. So Prabhupada became very heavy, and Prabhupada said, if he doesn't actually follow the principles, if he still continues deviating, I will reject him. So he kept the phone down. Tamalkrishna Maharaj came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, will you actually reject him? Prabhupada said, I can never reject anyone. And then he said, but he has been doing this for a long time. And Prabhupada said, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is unlimited. And since his mercy is unlimited, there is no way I can reject anyone. We have to be unlimitedly merciful. So Prabhupada was willing to give unlimited opportunities for anyone to correct himself. One very famous philosopher at that time came up with this philosophy that you enjoy as much as you want, and then once your senses are completely satiated, then you can attain nirvana, because you will be so exhausted after doing sense gratification. Sambhog se samadhi. So someone came to Prabhupada and said, what do you think about this philosophy? Prabhupada said, this is pig's philosophy. And then they saw some of the followers of this famous philosopher, you know, doing some activities in public. And one of the disciples commented to Prabhupada, since they follow this philosophy, Srila Prabhupada, in their next life, it looks like they may become animals. Prabhupada said, in this life also they are animals only. And Prabhupada was uncompromising in presenting Krishna consciousness, saying no sense gratification. Very uncompromising in an environment where sense gratification was considered to be everything. One disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the duty of a spiritual master and what is the duty of a disciple? Very simple answer, beautiful answer. Prabhupada says, the duty of a spiritual master is to serve Krishna, and the duty of a disciple is to assist the spiritual master in his service to Krishna. Very simple. One disciple told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I like this preaching. Prabhupada said, no, you should not say like this. You should say, this preaching is my life. Then Prabhupada said, in the episode of Juhu, Mr. N, who was so very powerful, and Prabhupada said, he was a businessman, he was with the press, Free Press Journal, he was also very highly politically connected, he is established in India for so long, we don't have any political connections, we don't have press connections, we were new. But still, we were successful and he was defeated. Why? And then Prabhupada said, because he was working on his own account and we were working on account of Krishna. And because we were working for Krishna, Krishna has protected us all through. So as long as we are working for Krishna, we'll always have Krishna's unlimited protection. One skeptic, he approached Prabhupada and said that I don't have too much faith in this chanting. And I would say that as an alternative to chanting, why can't we just do some counting of numbers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Prabhupada said, okay, no problem, you continue counting, and when you're tired of counting, start chanting. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, I don't believe in your religion and spirituality because I am a charity worker. Prabhupada said, who appointed you? Some disciples were on a walk with Prabhupada and they saw that there was a beautiful house and a tree was very artistically, you know, shaped, and it was like moving down and touching the top of that house. It looked very beautiful, very scenic. So the devotee showed to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, just see how amazing this scene looks of the tree. Just, it's going like that and then bowing down and touching the top of this house. Prabhupada said, he may have been the owner in the last life, he's still attached. That was his vision. One disciple asked Prabhupada, how is it that two people, one is highly unqualified, but still he gets Krishna's mercy, and the other does not get the Lord's mercy? Two people are there, similar situation, similar opportunities. One becomes serious in Krishna consciousness, other does not become serious in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, don't try to find formula for causeless mercy. One time, one lady disciple came to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just asked her a question. Whom do you love more intensely, Krishna or your husband? And she started thinking, and she started crying, because she didn't have very intense feeling for either. So, and she just kept quiet, and she was crying and crying. And Prabhupada said, okay, no problem, continue to chant Hare Krishna. In Chicago, the devotees had arranged that from both sides, when Prabhupada would enter through the door, they would welcome him with flowers. So they had made lots of flower petals ready, and they wanted to shower it on Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was about to enter, and as he came near the door, suddenly a lady with a child manifested there. And Prabhupada, being the perfect gentleman, he wanted the lady to enter. So immediately he opened the door, and then all the devotees with flower petals thought Prabhupada is entering. The lady entered and all the petals fell on her. And Prabhupada entered and saw and looked around and understood that their welcome ceremony had failed. Prabhupada turned to the temple president and said, in this way my movement is going on. One devotee said, Prabhupada, Mayapur is so wonderful, I wish to stay in Mayapur. Prabhupada said, no, you go out and make the whole world Mayapur. Just before summer, Prabhupada was going to Russia, and one disciple told Prabhupada, this is just the beginning of the mango season and you're leaving India. Prabhupada said, preaching Krishna consciousness is sweeter than the sweetest mango. Srila Prabhupada told Indradyumna Maharaj, very beautiful statement. Prabhupada said, I am standing in the middle. Krishna is on one side, you are on another side. I take Krishna's hand in one hand, I take your hand in another hand, and I bring both of them together. This is my service. Someone asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of accidental? How do we know whether a fall down is accidental or deliberate or premeditated? And Prabhupada said, if a devotee comes back to Krishna consciousness and again becomes serious, that is sufficient reason to accept that to be an accidental fall down. One devotee, one lady disciple, she was very young. And in Washington Post, they were asking questions about Timothy Leary, who was into the LSD. And this lady said, I was being misled by all of these false rascals like Timothy Leary. And therefore, I was deprived of the real truth. And this newspaper article cutting was brought to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so happy that how one of his disciples has uncompromisingly spoken against false philosophies. Prabhupada said, George Harrison gave me $19,000 and this lady disciple, she has given me $19,000,000,000 by making that statement. Prabhupada wanted like devotees to defend the Krishna conscious philosophy very strongly. And like our Haigri Prabhu, he was saying that during the first initiation, it was for the first time they were trying to wear the neck beads. You know, Kanti Mala. And he was having a tough time. So as he put on his neck beads, he was having sufficient complication tightening it. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, how do we get these off? Prabhupada said, you don't. Once you put them on, they remain on all the time. So on this most auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, we pray at his lotus feet that he keeps us at his divine lotus feet engaged in his service, and with the unlimited enthusiasm that he preached Krishna consciousness all over the world, may he also empower all of us that we can also engage in a very small amount of the kind of service which he has performed. And in just a period of 11 years, Krishna consciousness has spread to such an extent. If you go to America, you will see that the properties which were acquired during Prabhupada's presence, practically very few major properties have been acquired after 1977. So in that 11 years, Prabhupada did such kind of preaching which is unimaginable. Srila Prabhupada ki Tai Gaur Premanandi.
Hari Bol. Thank you for those nice droplets of nectar. Very sweet. Tulsi Manjari Mataji is here. While she comes in, I can request Govind Prabhu to kindly make his offering.
Hare Krishna. One interesting quality of Srila Prabhupada is, as Gauranga was mentioning, very uncompromising in regards to presenting Krishna conscious philosophy, but at the same time very flexible in accepting the shortcomings of people and immediately making them very at ease. Like one devotee, he told Srila Prabhupada that you always call people demon. That's very painful for them. Can we stop calling them demon? Then Prabhupada said, but they are demons. If you don't call demons, then you know you will not understand that they are demons. But they will not like it, but still they are demons. So when he saw that the argument is that however you try to convince Prabhupada, he would convince him that they are demons and you have to call them demons. Then he asked, but Prabhupada, can demons become devotees if they chant Hare Krishna? He said, of course, even the demons can become devotees. So we see, even though very uncompromising, one may call name calling, but in this world when people give name, they do name calling, they continue name calling for the sake of name calling, even if people change. But here Prabhupada would call them demons, hoping that they will not become demons. He would wanted them to change. His eyes lit up with hope that even demons can become devotees. It was not a hopeless demon calling. It was hopeful demon calling. Now, another occasion, one Jesuit priest, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. One devotee's mother, she brought this young boy. And she was saying, you know, my son requires education. Otherwise, how will they be intelligent like you? You are intelligent because you are educated, so therefore you should go to university. Prabhupada said, university, what will you learn? It's a slaughterhouse. You'll only learn eating, sleeping, defending and mating. Very uncompromising. She said, no, but I have sent my son to a school which is run by Christian missionaries. Therefore we have trained him, the Jesuit priest said. And the discussion started. Prabhupada had a typical style of dealing with Christians. Eventually, it would bring to the concept of thou shalt not kill. He brought the same subject. He said, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, so why are you killing so many animals? So the priest said, that means by not killing animals, we will become pure? He said, of course. That means we should only eat vegetarian food? He said, of course. Then eventually, Prabhupada tried to make them very comfortable. He said, our Krishna consciousness is teaching the principle that whether you are Christian, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Hindu, if you love God, that is the perfection of life. Then the priest said, I have last 50 years dedicated my life serving God. He said, of course, I appreciate, therefore you are a Brahman. He appreciated him. So we see here that while being very uncompromising not because the superiority complex, because of the experience of love of Krishna, there was no hatred. When sometimes in our religious zeal, for the sake of making others feel small, we make very, statements which are not very pleasing to us, neither pleasing to them, nor we can change. But when Prabhupada would make these statements, they're very powerful, very strong. But at the same time, the effect of that statement was, he had the ability to also make them appreciate his movement. And eventually when that priest was going out, it's very rare, he bowed down to Prabhupada, he touched his feet, and he said, you are like our father, we need your blessings. And Prabhupada told his devotees, give them prasad. So as Gauranga was mentioning that story of always forgiving devotees. So when we see, philosophically uncompromising, but unlimitedly accommodating. That was his preaching strategy. And therefore, because of these two principles, he was able to spread Krishna consciousness. Never compromise, but at the same time very flexible. Therefore, one devotee said, one of his god brothers said, that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sending devotees to the West, one of his very confidential devotees told Saraswati Thakur, you need to send someone who is very flexible and liberal. He said, we are raised in a background which is very orthodox. And therefore, we will not be able to share the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You need someone who is very flexible. And Saraswati Thakur got someone very flexible. He had uncompromising understanding, therefore he was Bhakti Vedanta. At the same time, unlimitedly accommodating. When this principle are harmonized, and because of that we see hundreds of devotees are able to practice Krishna consciousness with a wonderful understanding. Who is Krishna? What is Krishna's role in our life? And how we are supposed to Krishna? So on this auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, I also pray for myself and for everybody that let us be uncompromising in our understanding of Krishna consciousness philosophy, but at the same time unlimitedly flexible and tolerant in regards to people's imperfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Generally when we see the Vyas Pujas and other occasions like this, the way it is going on now, usually a theme evolves. And there is usually a carrier message which Krishna manifests for all of us to take home and we go back. So it appears that from the wonderful devotees who have spoken so far, this theme of non-compromising nature of Krishna consciousness for our own selves is coming up very strongly. And I guess it is Prabhupada's great happiness to see that if all of us can live a life of what he has given us so liberally, if we can accept it within our hearts and uncompromisingly follow to the highest standards he expects us to follow, that would make Prabhupada very, very happy. So let's take that as a theme coming from Prabhupada today through all his dedicated followers. Tulsi Madri Mataji, kindly make your offering and Vishaka Priya, be ready.
Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan. Two of his sannyasi disciples came before him. Prabhupada spoke to them individually, giving two different instructions. To one, he said, you are a sannyasi, you have a bus, you must travel and preach all over the world. Why do you think of becoming a president? To the other, he said, now you must never leave Vrindavan, unless I say so. You should stay here and do the management. All the devotees present laughed. It seemed wonderful how Prabhupada had given two contradictory statements, and yet everyone accepted it as truth. When Prabhupada was attending Kumbh Mela at Prayag, a few devotees came from England. They brought rasgullas made in England and offered to the deities in London. Prabhupada said, not even the Queen of England could enjoy rasgulla while sitting at the Kumbh Mela. This is the first time anyone is able to do this. He made this comment because since the time the British occupied India, Indians were crazy after things made in London. The best rasgullas were available in India, but these were made in London and exported to the Kumbh Mela tent. This was the symbol of wonder and wealth of Krishna conscious movement. Prabhupada once told a story. There was a factory in India. The proprietor was a Muslim, and the workers were mostly Vaishnav devotees who wore tilak to the place of work. The Muslim owner declared that he would not allow the workers to wear tilak. When they came to work next day, they all obeyed except one, who wore a tilak and came. The proprietor observed everyone and said, "This man is courageous. Only he can continue to wear tilak. All others are forbidden to do so." Prabhupada encouraged devotees to wear Vaishnav tilak to work, and if that was not possible, to wear at least water tilak with name of Vishnu, but not unnecessarily abandon Vaishnav dress code. Prabhupada would say that was his desire and that was his dream, that all over the world we should have one flag, that is the ISKCON flag, one Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, one mantra, the Hare Krishna movement, and one work, service to Krishna. This was his dream and desire. If that really happens, then we'll truly have a united nation and there will be peace and prosperity. Prabhupada would say, "You can show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. And if we do that, everything is possible. On this very auspicious day, I pray at your lotus feet that I may be able to serve your mission in some way. And with your blessings, I hope I'll be able to do it." Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. And if Krishna and Prabhu is here, kindly come forward for your offering.
Actually, when we all join Krishna consciousness, most of us heard this analogy about the stray street dog and a dog who has a master. And the difference between both the dogs is that the stray dog is not connected. And the dog who has a master, he feels connected with it. So on this auspicious day, when Prabhupada has appeared in this world, we would like to thank Prabhupada for the connection that he has given us to our glorious parampara. As we know, each personality in our parampara is simply like a hero. In few days, we are going to celebrate Ananta Chaturdashi, which is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, who was glorified for his unprecedented degree of tolerance. And not only him, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are full of descriptions of several devotees who exhibited different qualities manifested to a superlative degree, because of which Lord Chaitanya publicly expressed how he became conquered by their love. Vasudev Dutt was glorified for his magnanimous compassion because he told the Lord that let the whole universe go back to Godhead, and for their sins let me go to hell and suffer on their behalf. So Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he told Vasudev Dutt with tears that if it is your desire, the Lord will definitely deliver the whole universe because of this love and compassion of yours for the suffering soul. And he declared on several occasions that I have become a prisoner in Vasudev Dutt's heart and I have become his property. He can sell me wherever he wants to. In the similar mood, Srila Prabhupada, when he saw the suffering humanity, he was also ready to go to hell to deliver them. Srila Prabhupada said, "New York is hell, London is hell." And because of his compassion, Prabhupada had also purchased Krishna in a way that the Lord agreed to go wherever Srila Prabhupada wanted him to go. In spite of the fact that Krishna doesn't give himself or bhakti very easily, he simply went wherever Srila Prabhupada wanted him to go. Prabhupada took Krishna to South Africa at the peak of the apartheid movement and raised them above the bodily concept of blacks and whites. He took Krishna to US at the peak of the hippie movement and gave them the real intoxication and taught them to stay high forever. He gave Krishna to people who had snakes and cockroaches and made them into Brahmins, and to people who knew only illicit activities and made them into sannyasis. The power of his bhakti and compassion was so strong that he could easily break all the superficial barriers of temporary concepts. Krishna was his property, and so he could sell Krishna to these most difficult people and places. When Prabhupada, in a playful mood, hid a deity of Krishna from little Saraswati and asked, "Where is Krishna? Who has Krishna?" Saraswati immediately said, "Srila Prabhupada has Krishna." Even a small girl like her could understand that. and one can give only what he has. So because Prabhupada was full of Krishna, he freely distributed Krishna. And therefore, through the Krishna consciousness movement, we all have inherited Krishna. And as they say, the only thing one has to do to inherit a rich father's property is to stay alive. So therefore, we seek your blessings, Prabhupada, to remain alive and active in Krishna consciousness to inherit this property of yours. Also, we are remembering that our last year during this time, there was an epidemic of swine flu going on, and we could not celebrate Prabhupada appearance day on the actual day, and how we all were eagerly waiting to have the celebration. We had it few days later on, and the whole of many places everywhere, there was a paranoia that we should not get infected by swine flu. But we all were thinking that how Srila Prabhupada, it was so appropriate to have it during that time, that just like the swine flu, Prabhupada has brought the divine flu, which we all wish to get infected by and remain in his service. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Krishnananda Prabhu is not here. Okay, he's coming. Bamsidhar Prabhu, kindly come forward. After that, Kishori Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So don't go by this. This is how I used to pass my examinations in the school, by filling the pages. And mera jeevan kora kagas, kora hi nahi reh gaya after coming into Krishna consciousness of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Before that, it was a kora kagas. But after coming to this movement of Srila Prabhupada in 1997, when I was entering for the Sunday Feast program for the first time, His Grace Krishnanand Prabhu was giving the Sunday Feast lecture, and immediately the attention was drawn when we are entering on the left side. Normally, you know, right side we see first, but the deities are so deep here. So first have the darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And I thought that a person is sitting there, actually. And he is, of course. And then I went and touched his feet. Then, then I felt, okay, it's a statue-like thing. But now I realized over a period of time, in the last 12 years or 13 years, how great a personality is, how amazing a personality is, how greatness is, glories are unlimited. And every day when we think of him, Srila Prabhupada, and we do definitely, and since he is our Param Guru, we call, grandfather, Tata in Tamil. So every day when I get up, I pray to him, I call him Tata. Tata in Tamil is grandfather. And also at the time of going to the bed, we thank him sincerely from the bottom of the heart. What we have got in this moment, such a great extended family of devotees and person Bhagavadam, and the real Bhagavadam is here also behind me. So all these great stalwarts which we can get in our extended family, people strive hard to get this appointment in the office, but for devotees it is very easy, all because of Srila Prabhupada. And what attracted I used to do him in Vrindavan. So what attracted in the movement is the chanting, dancing, feasting. Initially, of course, first 1 year I concentrated only in prasadam. And today also, before coming here, I went just upside and one of the brahmachari called me, come have prasadam. And wonderful, don't miss it. But, after some time, then the philosophy came, then book distribution came, then collection for Janmashtami and other activities of the temple came. And in the last couple of occasions, that is last year when the marathon was going on, I fell very badly and I fractured my leg. And the first thought in my mind came is, how I am going to help Srila Prabhupada in book distribution? And I was feeling so devastated in my mind that I will not be able to do anything. And running around was next impossible. And doctors told me 3 months you have to be, in bed rest. Otherwise, if it relapses, we'll have very tough time. And I was thinking all the time, you know, having given good scores so long, you know, this time it will be a major failure. And all the railway stations, wherever we are going for the permissions, it failed. And because the competition, spiritual competition was also there from Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohanji Temple, Kargar. Then we said, okay, you please take the permission and we will assist you. But Srila Prabhupada, you won't believe, that day one gentleman knocked my door and he is initiated devotee, Subal Prabhu. He is the group president of Geetanjali Gemson Jewelries. And he said, I want some seva. Then I was surprised. I said, now you are initiated and such a wonderful position you are having. I should not take seva from you. I should give you seva. He said, no, no, please don't talk philosophy and all. I mean it. Otherwise, my life will be devastated. Then I said, okay, now I am limping. Can you please help Srila Prabhupada in the mission there of book marathon this year? He said, definitely. Won't believe, every day consistently, he was selling 5 Srimad Bhagavatam sets. And he said, I met you when your DT welcome was there. As well as Radhana Swami Maharaj was there. I said, I never invited you. I didn't know you also. Then he said, no, my friend came and he knew. I said, I am very thankful to you. I am sorry. Then consistently every day he was saying, 5 Bhagavatam set chahiye. I said, Bhagavatam chahiye, Bhagavad Gita chahiye. Bola, nahi, Bhagavatam hi chahiye. Bola, so and so is the price. He said, I know. Then wonderfully, Sarabhuj Prabhu and all those team entirely at what my call it is, whether it is 11 o'clock in the night or 4 o'clock in the morning, the books were coming and it was going like hotcakes. And it is Srila Prabhupada's books. Who can stop it? Nobody can. And he scored about almost 54 Srimad Bhagavatam sets individually. And the competitor was also there within our temple, Priyani Mai Prabhu. He scored around 49. So I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada, you made me disabled and through you, all these devotees are coming forward and doing such an amazing job. And about 132 Srimad Bhagavatam sets. And this big, that 3,000 rupees of Chaitanya Charitamrita in single book, that got around 32. And I said, what is happening, Prabhupada? You know, I can't imagine. So I could make out all this was orchestrated by Krishna and Srila Prabhupada just to, you know, crush my ego. And really glories to the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, I could really feel the touch of your hand in everything. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Now, secondly, the Janmashtami collections. When we go every day, you know, I sincerely pray to Srila Prabhupada and of course my wife also. Such a sincere devotee she is, I take her blessings. No, no, it's not. Please do not laugh. I mean it. All of you can do so, implement. And I asked His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I said, I offer my obeisance to my wife. He said, you can do so, provided you don't have any ulterior motive. And there is no ulterior motive, because people think that these people don't have children. But our extended family is so much. Here we could see 3, 4, 5 like that. So many children is there. Where is the absence of children? You know, fortunately we don't have. And our Govind Prabhu told me once, but don't be pride. Don't have pride that you don't have children. You are able to make so much, you know, time for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's mission. That is, you know, very advantageous for us in one sense. So daily when we are going for collection, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I sincerely pray that I must do best. I don't set the figure. And it so happened, 2 days, I worked very hard. 9 o'clock, I used to leave the house with the driver and the car. And I don't know whom I am going to target. And suddenly the idea may came, suddenly the phone call comes. And all those things, come on, come and take a collection of 1 lakh rupees, donation of 2 lakhs rupees, like that. And I was thinking, what is happening and all those things. And one day I put so much hard work. And my wife asked me, what is the score? She was under the impression it will be around 5 lakhs or whatever it is. I said, it's a big zero. And that day, I realized, when I was sleeping, Srila Prabhupada is, you know, making us so humble some days. And some days he gives such a high score. And, you know, yesterday it so happened, day before yesterday, 17 kalash, you know, I got it in a matter of about hardly 3 hours. Then I was wondering, you know, where it is coming from. 5 came from Abu Dhabi, 3 came from Hyderabad, and 1 came from Jaipur. And I was thanking myself because 300 kalash has already come, 300 into 4, 1,200. How we are going to manage? So at least these 10 into 4, 40 will not come. But the functions, the festival went off so smoothly. And believe me, each and every the kalash donor who came here has gone with such a high satisfaction. And everyone is so, you know, glorious about Srila Prabhupada. And everybody knows Srila Prabhupada. I would like to say Rajesh Jhunjhunwala, who is the elder brother of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala. Most of you will be definitely knowing, such a very popular person and very wealthy person. He was also here and he was dancing yesterday. So he was mentioning, I met Srila Prabhupada in Juhu, he said. I said, that's why he has brought you here today. And they are very generous people. And he said, I have got a lot of projects. Please come to our, you know, this one, and please bring your progress report. We can jointly do something. And I saw Aniket, an orphanage at New Panvel, which Rakesh Jhunjhunwala has built for about 40 orphans. And believe me, it is not a, you know, just Namkavaste orphan. Such a nicely he has built. Then I told him, see, please, we can give your children, about 40, you know, young boys are there, that Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and katha, kirtan and all those things. He said yesterday while getting into the car, full permission is granted. Don't worry about it. You know, not to check up with me once again. So that is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. Just by taking his name, we get everything. How glorious it is. So on this most auspicious occasion, Srila Prabhupada, you have made us fearless and you have made us to realize how we should be dedicated, determined in your seva. And please, I beg at your lotus feet, till the last breath, my aim, ambition and goal is to serve you and your devotees. Hare Krishna.
Probably like a live electric wire. If you ever feel dull in your Krishna consciousness, go and just touch him, that's all. And if you start hearing him, you'll be in ecstasy. So, Krishna Prabhu, make your offering, please.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today is a day where all the disciples, grand disciples, get together to churn all the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Such a wonderful experience to be participating and sharing so many wonderful, wonderful incidents that Srila Prabhupada has been responsible for. I remember recently when we were in Vancouver, there's a big poster that was placed right at the entrance. And in that poster, in all the time zones, it was mentioned that there is a center of ISKCON somewhere in the world, you know, in each and every time zone. So I was just thinking that, you know, just before when these offerings were going on, that at this point of time, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja is happening in some part of the world. And it's a very profound thought, because as a Jagat Guru, one would expect nothing less but to have his glorification being done 365 days of the year all throughout the world at some time or the other. So it's really glorious. Once Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Bombay, and at that time Garga Muni, he would call him Garga Mani, because he was one of his foremost fundraisers. And Jayapataka Maharaj came in from Mayapur, and Surabhi Maharaj, who was responsible for the Vrindavan temple, he came in from Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada was such a gracious host. He knew that all the three Maharajas had come to collect money, because these projects were under construction at that time. But Srila Prabhupada was so gracious that he welcomed them very nicely, inquired whether you're comfortable, whether you had your prasadam, did you get nice rest. And then after that, Srila Prabhupada started talking business. So he asked Garga Muni Maharaj at the time, so how much money do you need? So Garga Muni Maharaj and Jayapataka Maharaj both said that we need 150,000 rupees, Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada immediately became very agitated, transcendently angry. And he said, you always keep coming here for money. Every time you come to me, you want money. You think that I'm a money-making machine? And Garga Muni and Jayapataka Maharaj were taken aback and they didn't know what to respond. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, I don't have so much money with me, but, you know, I have 70,000 rupees. You take that and you'll be happy. And both these Maharajas were quite happy. And Surabhi Maharaj was sitting over there and he was thinking that I am now going to be asking 250,000 rupees to Maharaj, to Prabhupada. And, you know, how will Prabhupada respond to me? But then, you know, Surabhi Maharaj fortunately had come well prepared. So he made a presentation to Prabhupada. And he told Prabhupada that I need this money for so-and-so reason. And Prabhupada said, okay, he told Brahmananda, his secretary, that please see to it that two checks are prepared, 250,000 rupees and 70,000 rupees. And Brahmananda went inside and prepared the checks. And just as Prabhupada was handing over the checks, he handed over the check, one check to Gargamuni Maharaj, and the second check he was handing it to Surabhi Maharaj. So that time he asked Surabhi Maharaj, tell me, Surabhi Maharaj, how much does it cost for you to take a rickshaw from the Vrindavan Krishna Balaram temple to the bank? And Surabhi Maharaj thought for some time and he said it costs 1 rupee 25 paise, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada turned to Brahmananda Maharaj and asked, okay, how much does it cost for a mail to be sent from Bombay to Vrindavan? And Brahmananda Maharaj said that it costs 75 paise. So Srila Prabhupada took this check back and said, no, I'm not giving the check to you. He gave it to Brahmananda and said, mail this check to Vrindavan. So here was Srila Prabhupada signing a check for 250,000 rupees, and he was concerned about 50 paise. So this is a lesson for us, you know, all of us who are involved in this movement of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, we all have to be so conscious that each and every paise of Srila Prabhupada have to be handled by us so carefully. A lot of times we think that anyway we are doing it, we are doing something in Srila Prabhupada's service, but you're not conscious of the fact that how careful Srila Prabhupada was with regard to using Krishna's money. So all of us have to have that integrity to ensure that we are using Srila Prabhupada's Lakshmi in the best possible way. And he is teaching by his own example, because when you see the book that was published by the BBT, the beginning days of Srila Prabhupada in New York, how meticulously he would maintain his accounts. You know, every cent that would be spent by him would be recorded in these books. In fact, the diary is available at the bookshop. Devotees can buy it. And, you know, the extent to which Srila Prabhupada would record 20 cents, you know, today I received $1 and I spent 10 cents on buying some bananas and I spent 20 cents on conveyance. I mean, Prabhupada would really go to a great extent to ensure that every paise was accounted. So this is a responsibility that he has given us as his disciples and grand disciples, to ensure that we use everything in the service of Krishna. And in the process, what will happen is that we will ourselves get purified and make advancement on our way back home, back to Godhead. So on this very, very auspicious day, all of us can take this resolve to ensure that everything is being used in Krishna's service to the best possible way, in a way in which it will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Today is a day we can make this vow to Srila Prabhupada, yes, that we will do this for you from now onwards. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
This is very wonderful. When Madan Prabhu comes, he speaks about hospice because he's a doctor. And when a financial person comes, he speaks about money. So everyone thinks according to his own nature, Prakriti and Swabhava, which is very natural to do. But I think he has spoken a very unspoken nice message, is given that he is imbibing the mood of Prabhupada. It appears to me that just like Prabhupada did not allow any wasteful use of money, he is our chief accountant at our temple here. So when we give our hard-earned money to the temple, we should also probably feel assured that in the same mood, Krishna Prabhu will not allow any of the hard-earned devotees' money to get squandered in the wrong direction. So we are free to give as much as we want, and the money will be used rightly. Krishna Prabhu, right? Isn't that all okay? He's also the auditor, actually. You may not be knowing, he goes every month to Mayapur, and he's the one who's also controlling the finances there, and he's the auditor for the entire ISKCON world, for the BBT world. So Krishna Prabhu speaks a lot of sense when he speaks. Hare Krishna. So Mataji will speak, and then Rohini Priya Prabhu, if you are in the audience, you can kindly come. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada, as a perfect first class disciple, you took the desire of your spiritual master preaching in the Western countries, And I was reading some experiences of some of your disciples with you, that how it was not so easy for you to preach to them. And sometimes they would not understand your language. Sometimes they had their own ideas. There was one disciple, Bhavatarini Mataji, she was writing that when she was, it was the day of her initiation and she was too much in anxiety. And when she came in front of you, she was trying to think that she should speak, that minimum she will chant 16 rounds. So she spoke her vows, and then Srila Prabhupada asked her that, your name is so and so. And she thought her name was Barbara, so Prabhupada gave her the name again, Barbara. Maybe Barbara has some Sanskrit meaning also. So she asked, what Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, now take your beads. And she had a fracture on the right hand, so she put the left hand in front. So Prabhupada said, right hand. But she was so much in anxiety and she couldn't understand Prabhupada. So she kept putting her left hand and Prabhupada said, right hand. And she put again the left hand, Prabhupada said, right hand. Then servant of Prabhupada said, put your right hand in front. And then when she put the right hand in front, Prabhupada gave her the beads. And she asked Prabhupada again, what is my name? And again Prabhupada said, Bhavatarini. And she thought, Brahmacharini. She said, I have two children and I am 6 months pregnant just now. How can Prabhupada give me the name Brahmacharini? Said, maybe at least it is a Sanskrit name. At least I got some Sanskrit name. And then when she came out, Prabhupada's personal servant told him that actually the temple president had forgotten to give your name. And on the when you came, Prabhupada spontaneously gave you the name Bhavatarini, which is the name of his sister. So Bhavatarini Mataji writes that we came in front of Prabhupada, but we did not know anything. And Prabhupada just accepted us and he changed our lives. There was another Mataji, Shama Priya. She was telling that when she came for initiation, she paid sashtang flat dandvat in front of Prabhupada. And she had a bouquet in her right hand and she gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was giving her beads, so she put her left hand in front. So Prabhupada said, right hand. So she put the bouquet in the left hand and then she took the beads and then she was giving with the left hand the bouquet. So the personal servant told, you can't give anything to Prabhupada with the left hand, you give it the right hand. So she was not able to understand what to do with the right hand, left hand. And then finally Prabhupada just took the bouquet. And so Srila Prabhupada, you tolerated so many things. You stayed with all the Westerners who had no idea of how to follow Vaishnava etiquette or even normal culture. But somehow that you tolerated them and gave them the freedom to preach. A perfect leader is one who gives the freedom so that the people who are under them, they can spread and use their intelligence for spreading Krishna consciousness. Also, as a perfect Bengali businessman and as a marketing person, once you and we are traveling, you see everywhere there were billboards. Drink Coca-Cola. Every day drink Coke and enjoy. So he told the devotee sitting next to them that can somebody go and tell this Coke people that instead of writing the name of the drink Coke, they should change it to Hare Krishna. So everywhere it will be written, enjoy Hare Krishna, drink Hare Krishna every day. So at least by that people will chant the name of Krishna. Only Srila Prabhupada, you can think like this. After the Berkeley Rath Yatra, reporter asked two questions to you. One question was, Why God needs such a big cart? You know, God can go in a small car. Why such a big cart? So Prabhupada immediately replied that He is God and Jagannath is great. So great people need great car. That's why we have a big car. And then the next question the reporter asked, what will happen to this movement after you die? And Srila Prabhupada said, I will still be present in my books and I will continue to spread Krishna consciousness. And we can see, Srila Prabhupada, that even after your physical departure from this world, all over the world, even places like China, Russia, where there is no chance of Vedic culture, but still just by reading your books, people are becoming Krishna conscious. And we see that they are following your books as it is. Sometimes as Indians, you know, we try to think or try to manipulate. No, this is possible, this is not possible. But we have come across such devotees of yours who are as it is following your books. And even your disciples, like you, in innovative ways, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Today I pray at your lotus feet that please make me a humble instrument in the hands of your disciples to assist you in the mission of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much for everything.
We are in Kali Yuga, the dark night, the darkest of all the four yugas. And Srila Prabhupada is like that moon in this completely dark night, the Chandra, who along with his rays are spreading, whether it is any part of the world, the moon shines. As you have from Gaurang Prabhu, he is also very merciful, Dayal, like Nityananda Prabhu, who is willing to accept all of us. So his name could be like Dayal Chandra, one of the most merciful moons of Krishna manifest in this world. So we'd like to end the session today by asking Dayal Chandra Prabhu to come. Is he here? Yeah, so we will end the session by Dayal Chandra Prabhu, and remember that Prabhupada is that merciful moon who is shining in this dark night of Kali, illuminating the world with Krishna consciousness.
Actually, when Dwarkadish Prabhu was giving the explanation, I was just sitting. He was glorifying the Dayal Chandra, our Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation. So when he calls me, some other, I was confused. I was waiting there only. In this auspicious day of Prabhupada, actually, I was thinking what to speak. And Prabhupada has got so many ways and means to take this movement in a glorified way. One example I wanted to give you, this Prabhupada's, this auspicious day, that last year about the swine flu, and it made me to go for the Ras Bihari temple. When I went over there, that was the first time on the Janmashtami day I was there in Ras Bihari temple, because for the timing we have closed. And there, by the mercy of you, Prabhupada, I could get little bit of a new system of Abhishek thing has come. And some other, I was quite bewildered. This message I have to give today only. Though after the Abhishek program, the same night I called up Krishna Chandra Prabhu, even in a small way, we have to start. Of course, Jew is like powerful like Hanuman, as our Guru Maharaj Radhana Swami used to say. We are like spiders. But in spider way, as per our capacity, we should really perform this. So finally, this year that Abhishek is performed by the mercy of Prabhupada, and his way, as Bansidhar Prabhu has given lots of explanation. But one thing I wanted to say, the unique type of thing, we don't understand who will take care, what will happen, but Prabhupada is giving all the people, as Dwarkadish Prabhu has rightly said, there are people who are taking care of the finance, people who are taking care of the medicine, people who are taking care of the management, people who are taking care of the food. These are all the people, but these are all the gems are already there. The seeds have been already put. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he's declared, Prithvi Chacha Nagaradi Grama Sarvatra Prachar Hola Moranama. It is seeds have already put, and different way the process is going on. The Prabhupada, which is already given, that is not like dividing rule. He has not made like Punjab Sangha or Karnataka Sangha or Maharashtra Sangha. He made only one with few people. International Krishna Consciousness, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, very broad aspect. So this broad aspect is definitely, the seeds have been already put, it will grow. Most of the places it will grow like anything. Just yesterday, I used to ask the feedback from the Kalash people. They were saying they were really, you know, that process what they did it, it was really touching their soul. And that is Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Some service they did it for Krishna. So many people, their parents have come. They must have been, after many, many years they have come to Radha Gopinath. Old parents and all. It is a good opportunity, whatever Madhi Maharshi of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when he used to make this life membership, Prabhupada said, give them. Don't count it, what you are giving, what worth you are giving. Give them, Bhagavatam said. Give them, call them for our festival. This is for them to progress. And this is, they are going, we have to make them as the devotees. And this is our moment. Prabhupada never just, you know, what cost it comes. So many people, in Prabhupada's time, so many people, they would just taken so many things. So many people robbed it. Prabhupada never thought it's enough. I'll only remain at Calcutta. I'll take care of them. No, this is Krishna's desire. Let us grow. This was Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada, the same mood. Actually, you are in a small temple like Radha Gopinath. You bestow that same mood. I think we can serve you. And one thing here I wanted to say, Prabhupada, he says, one philosophical thing. We being the part and parcel of Krishna, is our natural tendency is to serve Krishna. It's the natural tendency. And natural tendency is not artificial. When we forget Krishna, that is artificial. When we forget Krishna, that is artificial. And serving Krishna, and because since we are part and parcel, it is our perfect condition. It is not an artificial condition, it is a perfect condition. So our, this is called normal life. Prabhupada, it is a normal life. So when we are preaching or giving all the Krishna consciousness, after taking ourselves, when we are giving to others, it's a most natural condition and it is a natural life of the human being. This is a natural life and it's a natural love of Krishna. To serve Krishna, that is our normal life. This is the awareness. To serve Krishna is a normal life. Actually, people think it is most abnormal life. This Krishna consciousness is abnormal. General people think. This is a normal life. And one word I wanted to explain, without serving Krishna, our life is abnormal. And one who is not serving Krishna, this is Prabhupada's statement, he is a madman. So this particular thing I wanted to express. So in this auspicious day, Prabhupada, I beg, as you said, lotus feet, all our devotees, and so that I should serve these devotees, so that I can be one of the instruments. In Gauranga Mahaprabhu's moment, as well as I can fulfill the mission of US with small as per my capacity. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. So, since we are bound by time, as always, we'll have to bring official end to the formal offerings which take place in front of Prabhupada in a spoken manner. But my dear devotees, please note with great sobriety in your heart that all of you and all of us together can come in front of Prabhupada. And we know that Prabhupada is sitting here live. This is Prabhupada's Archa Vigraha. This is not a statue. And when we give our offerings from within our heart, they will be registered in Prabhupada's heart to the Paramatma's mercy. So all of us can and should come in front of Prabhupada and do make our offerings at his lotus feet and express our love, our gratitude and our prayers for His grace. We shall do that in a more wonderful manner by offering Pushpanjali. So all of you will get Pushpanjali flowers. And as Radhana Maharaj has explained, that this is not just an ordinary ritual of just throwing some flowers on Prabhupada's body. But those flowers are the representations of our samarpana. The flowers are to be charged with our surrender to Prabhupada's will. So let us do that beautiful act of sacrifice and devotion by holding these flowers with great understanding charge those flowers with the devotion of our heart and lovingly offer them at the feet of His divine grace. Those flowers will carry a lot of meaning when we do it in this manner, as explained by Maharaj. So we'll do this beautiful ritual of Pushpanjali now, and we'll have Guru Puja. So please kindly stand up. All the flowers.